It's Victory Tuesday. The 49ers beating the Los Angeles Rams on Monday Night Football 31-10. Thorough domination. How did it happen? Takeaways, key plays, and game balls on today's episode of Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Rapid React after a massive, huge, spectacular win for the 49ers against the Los Angeles Rams at home, 31-10 in primetime, Monday Night Football statement game. Croc, the 49ers are back. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker here at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker. How big is this game, Croc? Like, this is the best game the 49ers have played since the NFC Championship game against the Packers, right? Which, is that the last time the 49ers have won at Levi's Stadium?
I believe they won. Didn't they beat the Rams last year at Levi?
It was a home game, but was it in Arizona or was it?
Nah, it was.
It was at Levi's.
It was at Levi because okay. It was early in the season. So maybe it's the recipe. 49ers need to play Rams every week at home.
Or on the road, because Kyle Shanahan still owns McVay. And, you know, that's another Shanahan protege in Green Bay, too, with the Packers. So I don't know what it is about Shanahan playing better versus his protege and his spinoff coaches than other coaches around the league, but especially McVay. And I thought that was a Robert Saleh, mostly Jared Goff thing. But this was a Jared Goff-esque performance from Matthew Stafford, right? This didn't look any different. And it started with the turnovers. So I think we got to start there with Jimmy Ward. And we talked about it Friday in our keys to victory and winning the turnover battle and how important that has been to the 49ers and really is important to every team and every game in NFL history. But for Jimmy Ward, who hasn't had an interception since 2016, to come out and get two huge interceptions, plus the pick six on one of them, and look, the opportunity was there. He didn't make a huge play really on either one. It was an arm punt to him on the first interception, and it was tipped on the second one, and he was just there to make both plays, and he made the plays. But it was so huge because the 49ers were able then to be the bullies that they always want to be. They were able to run it 44 times with a 14-0 lead in the first quarter, and I think that's so important for the 49ers to get those turnovers, to get that early lead so they can play the kind of ball that they want to play and be the team they want to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was a game where, while I was watching, I was just like, gosh, the 49ers are bullies right now. They are just pushing the Rams around, and the Rams, they kind of look soft. And that's not the identity you want to take on if you're a football team, especially with a team like the 49ers coming in that have not played well. And in games where they did play an opponent that's equally as good or better, you know, the record would say most of these teams are better. But I thought, you know, those games, the 49ers did not play well and things couldn't get going. And they just found different ways to get in their own way. And I thought this game, you know, and that was one of the keys to victory. Don't beat yourself. Get out of your own way. They definitely did that. And not only did that, I mean, you talked about the Jimmy Ward interception, or you talked about two of them, but one of them in particular, that one that was kind of tit, like just what he did kind of blowing through the block and putting himself in position to be able to, one, take advantage of the tip ball, but then two, take it to the house. I mean, that was big time. And I was really happy for Jimmy Ward, especially since all the trash that he talked about Matthew Stafford in the offseason.
It turns out it was the same old quarterback from Detroit. A couple of bad weeks for Matthew Stafford and the Rams. Rams are only 7-3 right now. So we'll talk a little bit about the NFC West, but mostly about that NFC playoff picture and where the 49ers are right now, because at 4-5, they're right there. They're on the cusp of the last playoff spot right now, and they've got those teams in front of them later on the schedule, and the schedule looks good for the 49ers. The Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Bills last week, so you never know how that's going to look, but the 49ers should be able to beat the Jaguars, should be a 500 team, and then be able to you know, drop the hammer on some of these teams the rest of the way. If they have this identity, and maybe that's it. Maybe they found that identity, because this looked a lot more like that 2019 team. They weren't quite as dominant up front on the defensive line getting after Stafford, but they were flying around Azeez Al-Shaair and Fred Warner and Talanoa Hufanga and the interceptions from Jimmy Ward, the guys on the outside playing well. I feel like the Rams didn't even try to test the corners that much, especially Josh Norman. Like, did he even get targeted until that last play in the end zone that was just out of bounds where he went up and tried to bat the ball down? As soon as that play happened, I thought, wait a second, I haven't seen 26 hardly all night long.
They threw at the guys a little bit early on, and then they started attacking some of the middle of the field. There was one play that I thought was extremely tough on Emmanuel Mosley, where it was a kind of this, you know, that deep over route where he was playing from outside leverage. So the receiver, all he had to do was kind of just flatten his route off, and I don't think there was anything that Mosley was going to be able to do. But we did see Jalen Ramsey get that same look from playing it the same way, and he almost picked the ball off. Now, Jimmy's ball was a little bit high and behind Jennings, but that just shows kind of the ability that Ramsey has. And it's like, man, you know, Mosley's not that caliber of a cornerback. But overall, you know, the corners, it could have been worse. There were some drop balls. There were a good amount of drop balls, actually. Josh Norman, late in the game, you talked about that one. He was in a press bill. Typically, cornerbacks, right? Everybody says cornerbacks can't catch. A lot of times it's because you don't see the ball thrown, so the ball kind of like jumps up on you, and then it's like, oh, dang, there's the ball. Then you try to, you know, get your hands in position, then you end up dropping it or whatever. Well, for whatever reason, Josh Norman was in the press bill. He sees the ball thrown, so you can see the flight of the ball, and he just completely misjudges it, jumps in the air, and the ball just like goes over his hands. Like, luckily, I believe it was Jefferson, just flat out dropped it in the end zone. But it's like, Josh Norman, what the heck was that? And if he's going to do things like that, then at some point it's like, when do I get D'Amador Lenore in there? When do I get Ambry Thomas in there?
It was, I think that was going to be out of bounds no matter what. I think that's why Jefferson dropped it, because he was trying to, you know, do the foot tap, and it was going to be a little bit out of bounds. But yeah, Norman jumped too early and too short, and he had great position on that ball. That should have been probably another interception. And Emmanuel Mosley missed one. There was one that Hufanga knocked away from Emmanuel Mosley, which is a bad throw by Stafford. Like, Stafford was off. He didn't look good. Oh, that fourth down play at the end of the game, he just threw it through the end zone. Didn't even give the guy a chance. They weren't going to come back. It was too late at that point. But he was bad. There was that corner route that Emmanuel Mosley looked like he was almost going to have an interception, his second interception potentially he could have had in this game. And Hufanga kind of knocked it out of his hands, but Hufanga wasn't in a position to defend that. And if that ball's thrown over the top and into the end zone further, maybe the Rams would have had a touchdown on that. So Stafford straight up was bad in this game. That's one of the biggest shockers about all of this, is how bad Stafford played from really start to finish.
Yeah, and I think when a quarterback is having an off game like that, you have to take advantage of it and use that to your advantage and get a W out of it. And mm-hmm. the 49ers did. You know, the 49ers played against Carson Wentz, you know, a few weeks ago, where I felt like he was off, and the 49ers did not take advantage of that early on. And you know, ultimately the 49ers end up losing that game. When teams are coming out and they're not at their full potential, or they're not playing as well as they potentially can, you have to figure out a way to win that game. And it was cool to see the 49ers take advantage of that on all fronts. There were some things that were, you know, a little concerning. The pass rush wasn't really getting there early.
Yeah. But some big plays still by the defensive line, namely on one fake field goal that I want to get to here, which was maybe my favorite play so far of this 2021 football season for the 49ers. More takeaways from this massive Monday Night Football win by the 49ers over the Los Angeles Rams. We'll take a peek at the playoff picture now in the NFC following week 10, and of course give out some game balls coming up. In life, we're all bound for different things. With BeachBound.com Vacations, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, bound for immersion. How about bound for rejuvenation? Or you may be bound for encountering the unexpected, which is always the best parts of any vacation, right? Probably the best part of a beach resort is the poolside bar, or maybe you gotta have drink in hand, so beverage up top, also feet in water. So whether that's at the beach, you're all the way down at the water with your feet in the water, or you're at the poolside bar, that is the place to be. Tacos, in the other hand, also a great vibe. As long as I've got a good view and a good drink in my hand, I'll be happy as can be. With beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you, no matter what you're looking for. What are you bound for? Visit beachbound.com today. So much to get to, and so much positive to take away from this game. Before I forget, I want to call out DJ Jones. And he is maybe not game ball worthy. He probably deserves a game ball just for the one play. But how awesome was that to see him in space? First of all, to recognize the fake from the nose. He's in the middle of the defensive line to bust out of that and make a play in the open field on a pass catcher. Like, that was big time stuff by DJ Jones. That was awesome. And how hyped the sideline was on that fourth down play, which was a bad call by McVay too. He was trying to make up for it. That was like a gambler who's losing bad and then starts making bad bets to try to make up for it. That was terrible. They should have taken the free points there, because then you only have one play still to get to the end zone. The odds were terrible for McVay to score 7 points there. They should have been going for the end zone on the play before instead of throwing it short of the sticks. And so at that point, they probably should have kicked it. And obviously, you know, after the Niners made that play, they should have. And Hufanga was giving pressure to to Hecker, who was trying to throw the ball too. So some props to Hufanga, and props to Richard Hightower later on in the game too. You could tell the 49ers were playing the fakes. They were like, look, we're not going to block this probably anyway, so let's keep an eye on this trickery that they're known to do. So Richard Hightower, 49ers special teams coach, deserves some credit and all that as well.
Dude, when DJ Jones, I didn't even know it was DJ Jones. I thought it was like a linebacker or like a safety that made the tackle. Like, he was moving out in the open field. Then the way he chopped him down, like, that was an Eric Crocker tackle right there. Like, going low, I always aim for the hip and shoot through the knees. Like, that's the way I tackled. You know, I wasn't a big hitter. And when I saw the replay, I was like, wait, that was DJ Jones?
Yeah,
I was blown away by that. He was moving good. Yeah. If you watch him compared to like Eric Armstead, like, they're moving at different speeds, and that speed definitely favoring DJ Jones.
Big time. Man, that was crazy. I did not expect that from him in space. A massive play in that game.
I do have a question though. What do you think about this? Because that was right before the halftime.
The timeouts.
I don't know. The timeout. So
That was.
You have over a minute left. There's over a minute. They get a second down stop for negative yards, and I'm thinking right there. Timeout, right? You have all three of your timeouts left. Let's get this ball back. Like, let's force them to kick field goal, whatever the case is. And all right, you know, you get the ball back with time. Your offense has been humming. Jimmy Garoppolo had been really efficient. And it was a curious decision for him to not call the timeout. They really, you know, basically let time waste. And obviously the 49ers went to halftime. No harm, no foul. Like, you know, they didn't give up the points because the Rams went for the fake. Also, the 49ers didn't have any, you know, chance to get points out of it. But my initial thought was, he doesn't trust somebody, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo or if it's just the team, because the team has found ways to turn the ball over, do some weird stuff, shoot themselves in the foot. There was some kind of just disconnect with the trust. But later in the game, you got like 4th and 7 from the 40-something yard line, and he goes for it on 4th down. So I'm like, I'm really confused with who Kyle Shanahan is. I never in a million years, I thought they were lining up to do the dummy snap, and then they were just going to call timeout or just punt it.
Yeah.
But when they called timeout right there, I'm like, okay, I don't think you're going to call timeout just to punt. Like, I think you would just take the 5-yard penalty and punt the ball off. So I think he's really going to go for it. So he lined up. And even as they're lined up, I'm like, they're not really going to go for this. And they went for it. And not only went for it, I mean, Deebo Samuel, that's the play he scored a touchdown on, right?
Yeah.
Incredible
the
call. Ceiling
40-yard touchdown.
It was a weird call. It was a weird decision with how much time was on the clock, what the score was, where they were at, and his, you know, not being aggressive earlier, calling timeout before half, but then, you know, or not calling timeout, then you do that. I don't know. I'm really confused with Kyle Shanahan right now.
It was weird because he did call a timeout with, 18 seconds left or whatever, and that kind of gave McVay, I think, the gumption to go for the fake once Shanahan called a timeout. But if Shanahan wanted to get the ball back and do something with it, because the Rams had all their timeouts, so they weren't going to run out of time, so Shanahan should have called a timeout with, like, a minute left on the clock then try to get the ball back for his offense. Right. So that didn't make a lot of sense. And it reminded me a lot of the Super Bowl with Shanahan being a little conservative with the timeouts and then kind of half-assing it with getting the ball back, you know, and kind of just sitting on it and not wanting, you know, to give the ball back or, you know, make a mistake on offense and happy to go into the locker room. That's the vibe I got there. And then at the end of the game, it was very un-Shanahan-like to go for that on that fourth down. It is kind of fourth down territory, but when you have a lead like that, that's what surprised me. So I was surprised to see that, and maybe the Rams were surprised too and hit Debo. By the way, that was maybe throw of the game from Jimmy Garoppolo. We got to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, who was just efficient, like peak efficiency from Jimmy G here. And I mentioned that NFC Championship game. This wasn't early it looked like he was trying to hide Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think it was just pretty clear what they were doing with the lead is they were just trying to and even with their first drive, they didn't even have a lead yet, but they were just trying to impose their will, and it wasn't so much hiding Jimmy Garoppolo. It was like, this is the game plan we want. We want to keep the pass rush off of Jimmy Garoppolo, and if we can run the ball, then we're going to run it right down your throat, and you're going to have to prove that you can stop us. And so I love that game plan right out of the gate from Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. But Jimmy G, man, 15 of 19 throwing. He only had 4 incompletions on the game. Everyone was talking about how awesome Mac Jones was this week. Jimmy Garoppolo had a similar, maybe even a better game than Mac Jones, right? With the efficiency and making dime throws, the throw to Debo at the end of the game, the 40-yard touchdown that sealed it there on fourth down. That was awesome between 3 defenders, and he threw with anticipation, knew where Debo was going to be breaking open, and threw it in front of this defender and in front of the deep defender and behind the other defender that Debo was breaking out from behind of. And that was just an awesome throw, and to see the confidence and just to see the execution from the 49ers all night long that they kept from the first half into the second half was huge. And Jimmy G, 15 of 19, 182 yards passing and a pair of touchdowns. So that was awesome to see because it was everybody. Like, this was and that drive, that first drive, 18 plays that took up almost the entire first quarter. That was crazy. At about 12 or 13, I was like, someone give me a play count because this is crazy because they're only at about the 40-yard line and they had already run a dozen plays. It was 18 plays, 93 yards after the initial interception from Jimmy Ward. And I think it was the longest drive by any team in the league this year. It was amazing.
I was watching the Manning cast on that early on when the 49ers were on offense, I would watch them. And then when the 49ers were on defense, I would watch the regular, you know, ESPN broadcast. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, they're like, man, this drive is like long. This is going to be the fastest first quarter in Monday Night Football history. We're not going to be able to get our, because, you know, they have guests on at certain times. Uh-huh. We're like, we're not even going to get our guests on because this first quarter is going too fast. One thing about Jimmy, and you talked about that completion to Debo Samuel, which was an excellent throw. Every time he throws a ball, I'm always looking like, would Trey Lance have made that throw? Like, that's what I always yeah. You know, ask myself. And there were a few throws this game where I'm like, Trey Lance isn't attempting that, right? Like that throw right there to Debo, the timing, the anticipation, like, ah, Trey Lance isn't doing that. Even kind of hanging in there, throwing the touchdown pass to George Kittle, you know, on third down, I'm like, ah, Trey Lance not doing that. There were a few throws in there where I'm like, okay, like this is the Jimmy I expected coming out this year to keep Trey Lance off of his heels, right? And we've said it on this show. If Jimmy Garoppolo would have played like he played against the Bears, like how he played against the Cardinals, and now how he played against the Rams, he's stringing them together, those 3 games. If he had played like that throughout the season, you know, early on against the Eagles, right, where it looked really weird. Early on against the Packers, even though he was able to come back kind of late, but, you know, just the only one score, you know, in the first quarter, and it was, I mean, first half, and it was Trey Lance running for a touchdown. Like, if Jimmy played how he's played over these last few games, I don't think anybody would call for Trey Lance. Like, you know, I think this is the type of brand that we need Jimmy to play to be able to win football games. And it was good to see him playing at that level. And I hope it continues, because if it does, I think that means that the 49ers ultimately go to the playoffs. And that's what we're going to need from him.
Elijah Mitchell ran the ball 27 times in this game. Jeff Wilson running angry. He carried the ball 10 times. Debo Samuel in the backfield 5 times, carried the ball 5 times for 36 yards, a 7.2 average. Looking natural as a running back. They finally started corralling him later on in the game, but he looks so natural back there. as a runner, it's pretty amazing. And I love the play designs on some of this. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan was having fun designing some of these things. I thought we might see Trey Lance in this game, and that would be some of the fun designs that Kyle Shanahan had going. But no, he was spending his time designing things up for Deebo Samuel. This was a Deebo game for sure. And there was that play where Jeff Wilson was sort of in the backfield, but then he was an H-back, and then Deebo was the tailback. And I just love seeing that stuff and just continuing. And they weren't making big plays. They weren't making big runs. The longest run of the game was 17 yards. The next longest was Deebo had a 9-yarder. So it was just physicality, and it was just 3.5 yards, 3.5 yards. Elijah Mitchell 27 times. Jeff Wilson, you could tell he loved being back in the game, and he was running over dudes, and he only had 2.8 yards per carry. But those were still an important 10 carries for 28 yards, even though it doesn't look great in the stat book. Like, they were bullying him up front, and that was fun to see, and it was so important. The biggest image for me in this game, and I tweeted it out when I saw it on the telecast, was Von Miller on the sideline sucking oxygen at the end of this, at the end of the first half. Because we had talked about, you know, oh no. And by the way, Jalen Moore did a great job at right tackle, I thought. He was doing good early in the game. He left with an injury. Tom Compton came in, but that's how you block Von Miller, and that's how you block Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd, is you run at them, be physical with them so they're tired out later in the game. And that was so important to see. That was like the image that I'll remember. First of all, Deebo with the chain. That where can I find that chain, by the way? Like, that was amazing. Yeah. They were chanting for Deebo in the stadium. That was awesome. But the image that sticks with me as like, okay, this is the image you want to see in a football game like this. Von Miller on the sideline, sucking air, trying to breathe in oxygen because the 49ers are on the field on offense for so long, going right at him. And there was some quit to the Rams. And you called him soft earlier. The 49ers were harder than the Rams in this game, period, right? And that was the story.
Yeah, the 49ers continued to run at them. And like you, coming out in my head, just watching the game plan and what they were doing, I was like, man, if I don't trust my quarterback was a game, it would look like this. Obviously, he did trust him, you know, late in the game. Like I said, went for it on fourth down. Like, I felt like that was the ultimate trust in our quarterback to do this. And with how efficient Jimmy was throughout this game on third down. But it did look kind of weird because, I mean, they were running, and I kind of tweeted this out as well. I'm like, gosh, I mean, I'm pretty sure Elijah Mitchell would like to stop running into 13-man fronts, because that's what it looked like. It was like, you talked about his numbers. And he had all those carries. He averaged less than 4 yards a carry during this game. But it was just, I felt like the 49ers, no matter what, they were going to stick to whatever their game plan was, whatever their script was. You know, if it was, hey, I don't care what front the Rams give us, we're going to run into it. And it's going to maybe, you know, soften some things up for us, or maybe open some things up on passing over the middle. That's what they did, man. And they stuck to that. And they did it over and over and over. And I think that, you know, stuff like that, man, that's tough when you are a defense and you can't stop it. And then I think the bigger part of what it did was consistently set the 49ers up in manageable third down positions. And Jimmy Garoppolo did his thing. I thought it was a really good game, you know, a very efficient game, really in the run game, and how that mirrored with the passing game. And it was really cool to see. Good stuff all the way around from Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Absolutely.
And Elijah Mitchell.
Yep, no doubt. And the offensive line, got to give them credit in all of this too. A couple of notes on certain players. We'll get to that coming up with our game balls and a quick peek at the NFC playoff picture, which looks a lot more rosy for the 49ers after this big win on Monday Night Football next. A real easy way to get a little extra cash in your pocket at the end of the day, especially for those folks who are listening to podcasts and driving in their car a lot, check out the Get Upside app. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use promo code TOUCHDOWN for a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. I have the app. It's super easy to use. You open up the app, find out which gas stations are participating near you, claim it, go there, fill up your gas tank as you normally would, then guess what? You get cash back on that fill up added directly to your account. It's super easy. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, an e-gift card. Just download the free Get Upside app. Earn yourself a little extra cash back when you get gas and use promo code Touchdown when you do it. All right, Croc, we talked about it. The 49ers now tied with the Vikings at 4-5, and they're the first two teams with the Falcons. All three of those teams are 4-5, and they're the first three teams out of the playoffs if the season ended today at 4-5. The Panthers at 5-5, a half game up in the seventh seed, and then a full game up is the New Orleans Saints at 5-4 in the sixth seed. Even with this loss and the Buccaneers' loss, 6-3 and 7-3, the Bucs and the Rams, I think it's going to be too hard probably to catch those teams, although that's not impossible. Only two back in the loss column now from the Rams and the Bucs are the 49ers right now.
You play the Rams again.
Yeah, you play the Rams again. You got the Cowboys at 7-2, the Cards at 8-2, and the Packers at 8-2 up at the top. But the Niners play the Vikings. The Niners play the Falcons, who they are tied with, so they're going to be able to take care of those games. The 49ers play two games against teams that are over 500 the rest of the way, and that is the Rams and the Bengals, who are 5-4. So the 49ers have a winnable schedule. The 49ers came into the season was what most people thought was the easiest schedule in the NFL. And this is the beginning of the easiest portion of their schedule. A few games look like they're more difficult than they did, I think, at that point. But they can do this. The 49ers can absolutely do this and get into the playoffs. And if they play in the playoffs like they did in this game, which was very reminiscent of their playoff run style of play in 2019, then they could maybe even do some damage in the playoffs. And that's going to be important for this team.
Well, they had to win this game.
They had to. This was
to have the confidence that they can win the other games, right? Like, you know, I was excited after this game. I'm tweeting like, all right, like, you know, Trevor Lawrence, 49ers is coming for you now, right? Like, this was the game that you had to have to believe that you can win the games that you're supposed to win. Now, they have showed the ability to do that. They did beat the Detroit Lions. They did go on the road and beat the Philadelphia Eagles. They did go on the road and beat the Chicago Bears. But now, beating the Rams, I think that gives you the confidence that, you know what? We can beat anyone if we just play our brand of football, if we don't beat ourselves. And now you have three opponents coming up, a few opponents coming up that you should be able to handle. You should be able to handle these teams. Now you have to continue imposing your will on these teams. And definitely very favorable. But again, it comes down to the 49ers being who we think they could be. And I've talked about this. I don't think this is a bad team. I don't think this is a bad roster. So it was good to see them actually look like the team I expected them to be.
The Rams. Did the Rams screw this up trying to put together a super team? Because like the game literally went south because Odell Beckham was in the game and there was a miscommunication and he freelanced or something, did something on a route that Stafford didn't expect. And I don't know what Stafford was doing throwing into double coverage that way. I don't know if it would have looked great even if Odell went where he thought he was going to go. But if that first interception doesn't happen and the Niners don't get the ball back and have that super long drive, does the game look the same, right? So the Rams screwed this up by throwing Odell in there or even getting Odell in the first place.
Stafford was trying to throw the game away all game long. I mean, how many passes hit 49ers defenders' hands where there was the two that Emmanuel Mosley touched, obviously the two that Jimmy Ward ended up actually picking off. Mm-hmm. Fred Warner, he got his hands on the pass. Like, he was trying to give the game up.
There could have been four or five picks in this game.
Yeah.
For the 49ers defense.
Kudos to the 49ers for shrinking some of those windows, but some of them were just really bad misses from Matthew Stafford. And then not only that, the Rams had a good case of the dropsies as well, and that helped the 49ers a lot. I'm not complaining. Something to note.
And that's sort of
because like the Cardinals game, the Cardinals game, when the 49ers originally played them with Trey Lance, that's a game that you want to have that game because, man, maybe you don't get the same type of style of game the next time around. So the 49ers, when you're able to dominate this team and Stafford isn't playing extremely well, you got to win that game because next time he could be on fire. You know, hopefully not. According to Jimmy Ward, this is just the same Matthew Stafford all the time. So.
Oh, and Debo having such a great game. And remember Aaron Donald's comments after the game. Who? Yeah, so he definitely knows who he is.
You see the 49ers Twitter account tweet that out?
No, I didn't. I missed it. Oh, yeah, I'm sure there was a lot post game, and we're recording this as they're doing the post game press conferences. So we'll cover some of that stuff on Wednesday's show with Wink and talk more about this. And I'm sure there's going to be some spicy content there. And I haven't heard anything from those post game interviews yet, but it should be a lot of fun. So Debo's my first game ball. Debo's got to have a damn game. This was a Debo game. 5 carries, 36 yards. He had a touchdown run. He had the big touchdown catch, the back-breaking 40-yarder, yards after catch. I felt like I was surprised seeing Debo Samuel. 5 catches for 97 yards, 19.4-yard average, by the way. Big plays by Debo. Caught all 5 of his targets, 5 carries for 36 yards. It's 125 yards or 130 yards or whatever. That's pretty good, but I felt like he had 200 yards. Like I felt like he was even more productive than what the box score shows.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, keep feeding him. You know, obviously taking those shots with him at running back. Yeah. You know, every time he runs the ball, I'm like, ugh.
There was one especially, but, like, he ran into a brick wall. I was like, yeah, let's not hand him the ball anymore out of the backfield. That's good. We're good there.
I think the way Kyle's looking at it, and how I would look at it too, is like, you know, right now Debo Samuel's my best player. So I'm just going to figure out different ways to get my best player the ball and have him make plays. And he did that. I mean, we talk about really not, you know, been a little timid to give him the ball in the backfield, but that touchdown run, like that was legit. You know, that was a carry out the backfield.
Speaking of Aaron Donald, Dan Brunskill still owns him, right? And Laken Tomlinson a little bit, maybe Alex Mack. But, dude, Brunskill handles Aaron Donald better than you would expect. I don't know what it is, but Aaron Donald wasn't a huge problem in this game. You know, he had a couple tackles for loss, and he made his presence felt, but he didn't take over or anything. He wasn't a massive problem for the 49ers, and neither was Von Miller. I mean, that's huge for the 49ers offense, and part of that is because of the brand of ball they play.
Is that one of your game balls?
I don't know. I mean, I think you maybe just give a universal game ball to the entire offensive line because the line played great and Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't under duress. And part of that was the physicality and the style of game they were able to play and running the football. I think you give the offensive line the game ball. I think we don't even have enough time to give out as many game balls as probably are deserved. But I would give a game ball to the offensive line as a whole.
I'll give a game ball right now to Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Really. Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo, but I'm going to start with Jimmy Garoppolo just because I really feel like his back was kind of against the wall. You hear the comments with Kyle Shanahan coming out saying, hey, if Trey Lance didn't have the knee sprain, he would have started against the Colts. And I take it as 49ers just kind of waiting for that moment for Jimmy Garoppolo to kind of mess up, and they're going to insert Trey Lance in there into the starting lineup. And Jimmy said, you know what? No. It's not about to happen on my watch. Play well against the Bears. You know what? Not going to happen on my watch again. Play well against the Cardinals. This is another game that he played well again. He did an amazing job really managing this football game. So I think, yeah, definitely have to give him a game ball. How efficient he was on third down, like that's what the 49ers are going to continue to need for them to win these games.
It's so big for Jimmy G because if the score was the opposite in this game and Jimmy G did not play well, you and I for sure and probably everybody else would just be like, it's time for Trey Lance, period. Like, yeah. Don't mess around anymore. It is time for Trey Lance, no matter what. And it's, you know, I guess it's not Trey Lance time. It's definitely not going to be Trey Lance time. And I think this is the team now. So Jimmy Garoppolo has, but I think it's week to week. Like, Jimmy G, you know, bad game against the Jaguars. And then that conversation is going to happen again. But Jimmy G definitely deserves a game ball here. And he's at least calmed that tide for the time being.
I think with 3 straight games where he played well and executed, I think he holds him off. We might be talking about not seeing Trey Lance till next season.
It's
maybe
very possible.
Like week 17, if they lock up a playoff, seat, you know, because things are weird, but if they can kind of separate themselves and lock themselves into a playoff seed, maybe, you know, week 18, you'll see Trey Lance. But
I don't think there's any opportunity because there's too many teams. And they're going to be playing for some kind of a home field somewhere or some sort of a playoff spot. I don't see it being that they play Lance because they've clinched something. Maybe the final week, it turns out it doesn't matter in the final game or something. But more than likely, the only way that Lance plays at this point now is if the 49ers are mathematically out of it. And that might not happen until late in the season, too. So if you're waiting for that, if you're waiting for the math, you're right. We might not see Trey Lance at all, maybe one game.
Also, I want to give it, and I talked about Kyle Shanahan, good job having his team come out prepared. he's been under scrutiny a whole lot throughout, you know, the last really few weeks. Just the preparation, the execution, everything looked off tonight. All that was on point. So definitely want to give a game ball to Kyle Shanahan and want to give a game ball to Jimmy Ward, because I think his two plays early on really set the tone for the 49ers to be able to stick to that type of game plan of just kind of running the rock, short yardage situations. You know, didn't have to really put too much on the shoulders of their quarterback, you know, getting the lead early on with, you know, the first pick, 49ers drive, score a touchdown, second pick, that's a pick six. That I think that changed the dynamic of the football game. So big time game ball to Jimmy Ward. He changed things for sure.
Absolutely massive. That's the first game ball we should have given out was to Jimmy Ward. That changed the tide of the entire football game. His first interception since 2016. He got two of them. One of them he took to the house. We already mentioned DJ Jones on the 49ers defense. Talanoa Hufanga, by the way, man, I love Hufanga. He's a baller. Like, I love when the plays in front of him, how instinctual he is and him closing on the football. I don't like him in playing single high and in center field necessarily, but man, he's athletic enough and he can play. He's a baller. So I like watching Talanoa Hufanga play, and he brings some energy. Azeez Al-Shaair was really good in this game. Fred Warner made a lot of plays in this game. Maybe a couple tackles I would like to see better from him. Emmanuel Mosley played a really good game, just all around. So I think the final game ball for me, you just give one to D'Amico Ryans, because he was hit pretty hard last week with that Cardinals loss. There was a lot of really good players in the 49ers defense. Jimmy Ward deserves a game ball. I think the next game ball, just to seal that, would be the guy that coaches the other side of the ball, and D'Amico Ryans.
Yep, he answered the call, man, and I know people were really kind of upset with D'Amico Ryans and how things were going. And I mean, forget D'Amico Ryans. Did you see how Rex Ryan called out Robert Saleh? Oh my goodness, that's off subject. That's off subject. But goodness gracious,
no, wait, what happened?
Rex Ryan, man, he is off subject. I know.
This is your guy. This is your old coach in New York, Crocky.
Oh, yeah, Sexy Rexy, man. He was like, don't ever compare that guy to me. Oh, yeah, it was big. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Wow,
we'll
okay, yeah. So teaser for tomorrow's show with Nick Winkler. I missed this completely. So Rex Ryan talking smack about the current New York Jets head coach, former 49ers DC in Robert Saleh. 49ers current defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans had himself a good game, got himself a game ball. More covering this game, more looking ahead to week 11 now in the NFL. The 49ers revived their playoff hopes and their entire season. Such a massive win for the 49ers to beat those Los Angeles Rams on Monday Night Football in prime time in front of a national audience. Thanks for making us your first listen every single day. Croc and I back tomorrow with Wink right here, Locked On 49ers.
Same old sorry ass Rams. Shalom.
Yeah.